Welcome back to A Closer Look with Rose Scott. I'm Dennis O'Hare. In the last few days, the Georgia State Legislature has pushed along a bill aimed at cracking down further on child sex trafficking in Georgia. WABE, of course, has covered the child sex trafficking battle for several years now, but part of that bill requires adult entertainment establishments to pay an annual regulatory fee. In the current version of the bill, it's $5,000 or 1% of their gross revenue, whichever is greater. Alan Begner is an attorney for many of the adult entertainment establishments in Georgia. He joins us now. Mr. Begner, welcome. Good to have
you. Thank you, Dennis. Thanks for inviting me.
This annual fee has been talked about before. It's back now in the latest version of the bill. Do the adult entertainment establishments have any real problem with paying money to a fund that would help the victims of child sex trafficking? Because that's where this dedicated money would go.
The industry certainly has a problem with compelled taxation of speech, which is illegal. The clubs have no connection to minors who are prostitutes. In Atlanta, DeKalb County, the clubs are required to make dancers and all employees get permits. The dancers have to go to Licenses and Permits Division of Atlanta Police before they dance and be fingerprinted. They have to prove their age and have to be at least 18 and are not allowed to dance unless the city or DeKalb County does the same thing, authorizes them to do so, and allows them to dance. So I don't believe that child prostitution has anything to do with adult clubs.
On that point, though, of course, false IDs are a big business. Are you saying that there's no way that an underage trafficking victim could end up as a dancer in a club?
No, I'm not saying that at all. Fake IDs can accomplish all kinds of things. I've seen cases where sisters who are older have had their permits, which were granted lawfully, used by younger sisters who weren't them. But there's so much at stake. The clubs absolutely, positively don't want this to happen. And insofar as there are—
When you're saying don't want this to happen, you're referring to trafficking.
Yes. Well, to having underage dancers, because a lot of bad things can happen, and the licenses are so valuable because they're limited. And insofar as it is possible that an underage dancer could get in, it's rare.
Is it also possible, though, that some of those who are dancing in the clubs are victims of trafficking, even if they are of age? Now, obviously, this bill doesn't deal specifically with that. But that is something that has been raised, that while you may verify age, you may not be able to verify that somebody is doing it voluntarily.
If you're over 18 and you are, you know, involved in prostitution, I don't think this bill is directed to that. And in Georgia, the age of consent for sexual intercourse for a woman is 16. The question to me is whether or not the industry that is targeted just has anything to do with adult clubs who are already highly taxed and who want very much to make it clear that they are not the ones who are causing the problem. If this bill, which finds that it is adult clubs that are the cause of the problem, and in large part, all kinds of bad things can occur, and I believe the clubs will fight any tax and any notion that they are a big or any part of the problem.
The clubs might not be operating child sex trafficking rings. The dancers themselves may be of age, even if we grant all of what you've said. But it is quite possible, and many advocates feel it's true, that the clubs, in terms of the surrounding area, in terms of the clientele, they just attract that kind of activity either in them or around them, whatever the age of the dancers themselves might be. You've heard that, I'm sure. What would you say to folks who say, look, the clubs themselves may not operate child sex trafficking rings, but they attract them?
Well, I disagree with that. The clubs discourage dancers from dating customers at all, something they can't control. But customers are always made to leave, and clear the parking lot before dancers leave so that it is a discouragement. In any business or any part of life, a woman can date someone if they want to, but certainly it's discouraged by the clubs, and I don't see any connection to helping or fostering prostitution by clubs. The opposite is true.
Are you saying, though, that there's no connection between some customers of an adult entertainment establishment and child sex trafficking, in that there might be a few people who are drawn to the adult entertainment establishment who might also look for underage girls?
I don't think there's any connection there. I mean, it's possible that anybody who goes anywhere, including to any business, including lawyers, doctors, anybody, might be drawn to young women. The consequences of that are very serious indeed. But the adult industry and the clubs in particular are absolutely, positively not involved in child fantasy. This is the opposite of what they do. And it seems to me unlikely that a customer who comes in who might want to see the dance of the dancer and who might also want to take a dancer out would have any reason to want to take children to bed. It doesn't make sense to me.
You said the dancers are kept inside till the customers are clear, but it's not the dancers necessarily that we might be worried about. It might be underage girls who are pimped outside of the club, but maybe on club property.
Well, see, I think you've hit the issue right on the nose here. The child prostitution arises not from any hub or any place in particular. It's simply, I would assume, be involved with young girls or older girls who run away from home, who then find a way to live and meet pimps who then are involved in the traffic, or without pimps, maybe they do it themselves. It's not like they come to an adult club to dance, which they can't, and then somehow use it as a springboard to go into a sex trade.
But pimps couldn't look at the customers of an adult entertainment establishment, a strip club, and say, ooh, there's a pool of potential customers for me, and go solicit them there.
Anything is possible, but, I mean, they could do it at McDonald's, too. I don't see a connection between the customers.
It's all part of the sex industry, if you will.
Well, I don't believe that customers who come out of adult clubs have any sort of propensity to have sex with anybody, and certainly not children. And so the notion that there is more crime associated with adult clubs in Atlanta, I think there is no basis for that. There was a study done by Fulton County Police in the late 90s that found that there was half as much trouble and fights in adult clubs as regular clubs there. That study has made its way into 20 or more Supreme Court cases in states, and three times at the U.S. Supreme Court case showing no correlation.
You mentioned that Atlanta, Fulton, DeKalb County have strict permit procedures for dancers. But what about the rest of the jurisdictions in Metro Atlanta and around the state? Because this bill is addressing far more than Metro Atlanta or Atlanta, Fulton, and DeKalb.
I can't speak for employee permit laws in other parts of the state, so I don't know.
So isn't it possible that while there may be few, if any, underage dancers in clubs in Atlanta, Fulton, and DeKalb, there might very well be some in other areas?
There might. But again, a club, adult club owner, he has a great deal to lose, or she, there are more women who own clubs than men, but she could have a lot to lose if she were to allow a 17-year-old to dance nude. This would be a serious felony to allow that, and I think that they would all, no matter where they're at, try very hard to ensure that the person is 18, has proven it, can prove it, regardless of permit requirement.
Yeah, how great would the risk be, though, if the club owner could say, well, the dancer lied to me because she had a false ID. I didn't know.
I liken this to the DUI laws, which is if you're a bar and the person shows you a really good fake ID, you're probably okay. But if it's a bad ID, you have a duty to look past the ID and form an opinion. And it's a Georgia ID, you know, but I think everyone has to really check out their age and not just blink their eyes and say, well, she showed me an ID, I'm okay.
And you think that is actually happening?
I think that people with fake IDs can do any number of things, but it's less likely that they're going to fool police, who also fingerprint them and can tell if they're using the wrong name. Plus, they check for criminal convictions within years. So you can't easily trick the police. If there is a location or another city which doesn't have employee permits, it may be easier, but certainly not in Atlanta.
Let's turn now to the proposed tax, which is $5,000 or 1% of gross revenue, whichever is greater. I mean, realistically, especially for some of the big clubs in Atlanta who draw folks from all over the place, how big a hit is that really going to be to their business?
Well, it is a big hit. I would think, without knowing for sure, that adult clubs would owe under this tax $10,000 to $20,000 or more. It's based on gross, not profits. And so hardly anybody is only going to pay a $5,000 tax at a $500,000 gross income. It's going to be a lot more than that. It's less a question of what the cost is than of the unintended or intended consequences that arise. The law also allows Georgia Department of Revenue an order to enforce the amount they think you should owe, to look at your books and to otherwise discipline you or put you out of business in an easy fashion. The biggest problem is that to be found to be a cause of this, which is the only way the law can succeed to tax the adult clubs, to be found to be the cause of this will have enormous impacts and will be fought to the very end.
You also raise the constitutional ground of, okay, this is a tax on free speech, but isn't a newspaper that has to pay a sales tax being taxed on what it publishes? So how is this fee really any different from any other kind of tax or fee that, whether it's a media outlet or a theater company or whatever, might have to pay?
Well, the clubs have to themselves pay licensing fees that vary, and dancers or other employees of clubs, because all employees in Atlanta have to be permitted, pay, I think, a $350 fee. The cases and the case.
So how is this any different from that in terms of constitutionality?
Because that fee has to be limited to the reasonable amount of work that the police are required to do to see if they have a record, to fingerprint them, to
cover
do
costs,
the administrative costs, so that the cases have said that a city can charge the administrative costs reasonably required to issue permits. But I don't think that, again, the example you give is the same as this law, which is a clear tax on speech, and based upon the unbelievable assumption that somehow dancers at clubs are either underage or somehow dancing at a club contributes to child prostitution any more than just any other business, which it just exists and has streetwalkers nearby. Streetwalkers are everywhere.
So you're saying this fee is, in its essence, different from any of the other fees that the strip clubs already pay?
Yes, this is completely different. This is the notion that because the existence of adult clubs creates what they call secondary effects, increased crime because of their very existence, and this particular increased crime, that they can be taxed to help offset the cost of it.
And you're saying there's no evidence that those secondary effects exist?
There is none. There is nothing about an adult club that has anything to do with child sex trafficking. It comes from a whole nother place, from a whole nother way of life that does not travel through adult clubs except on the occasion of the possibility and perhaps the probability that a under 18-year-old girl can get a permit from licenses and permits, trick them, and dance. But the fact that she's going to dance, even if all things else are the same, doesn't mean she'll have anything to do with sex or prostitution. Dancers make a good living if they work a full week. And my experience with this sort of issue as a lawyer is that if a woman can make a good living at dancing, she doesn't want to be a prostitute. The reason women generally do things they don't want to do is because they need money and can't make a living otherwise.
If this bill passes in its current form, you hinted at a challenge. How quickly could that challenge come? I mean, would you try to block enforcement of the bill before it ever happens?
Oh, absolutely. The bill as it's written now seems to require, in order to seek the 5,000 or 1% penalty from a club, to be treated as a constitutional amendment and be ratified by a vote. But long before that happens, I expect many clubs and other lawyers besides me to challenge that.
Because if the amendment passes, wouldn't it automatically, therefore, be constitutional?
No.
Because it's a constitutional amendment.
Well, no. Because I think the constitutional amendment part of this is just to raise money that way. To me, the battle is over, regardless of the amendment passing, whether or not it is a tax on speech with no correlation between the clubs and the remedy sought by the state, which would also violate what we call the Paramount Test, which is a challenge to prior restraint under the First Amendment.
So to take us back to where we started, what's the problem that clubs would have with contributing to a fund which would help the victims of child sex trafficking?
Yeah, many clubs would. If you just ask them to contribute like the public at large, I'm sure we would in a informal way or a non-mandatory way. But we're used to, in this industry, being leaned on for money for just and unjust reasons, and to be told that we're the cause of this is something we would not accept under any circumstances without a full-blown battle.
Alan Begner is the attorney for many of Metro Atlanta's adult entertainment establishments, strip clubs, whatever you like to call them. Mr. Begner, thanks so much for being with us, and we'll check back with you as this goes along.
Thanks, Dennis.